Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Visovati et al. Titled, Purinergic Dysregulation in Pulmonary Hypertension. This article published June 1st, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Robert Hester, Lead Author Scott Visovati, and Content Expert Nikki Jernigan. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I would like to sort of get started with this very interesting paper as a quick overview in terms of it presents evidence showing that circulating nucleotides may play a significant role in the pathobiology of pulmonary arterial hypertension, which is really a very serious pathology in patients. Scott, could you just give us a brief introduction in terms of pulmonary arterial hypertension and then talk about nucleotide metabolism?
I'd be happy to. So pulmonary arterial hypertension, as you mentioned, is a devastating condition. It's a situation where there's elevated blood pressure in the lungs with a downstream bottleneck of sorts that causes a backup of blood into the right side of the heart, in many cases ultimately leading to right-sided heart failure and death. There are a number of different subgroups of this condition, but the one that many of us are most interested in addressing is idiopathic pulmonary arterial hypertension, a condition where, as is evident with its name, we don't understand the triggers.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit about sort of the basic ideas, why you thought that sort of adenine nucleotides might play a role in this?
Sure. So our lab is interested in the role of ectonucleotidase CD39 in normal physiology as well as in disease states, including pulmonary hypertension. CD39 is an extracellular nucleotidase. It's found in a number of different compartments, but primarily, at least for our interests, on the vascular endothelium. And it's responsible for a sequential dephosphorylation of the extracellular circulating nucleotides ATP. And thanks to seminal work by Jeffrey Bernstock and others, we know that in addition to sort of the intracellular energy carrying capabilities of these nucleotides, they are purinergic signaling ligands. In other words, they interact with receptors throughout the body to affect changes that include regulation of vascular tone, apoptosis, cell growth, platelet aggregation. And many of these same processes have run amok in pulmonary arterial hypertension. So it just made sense that since this is a key regulator of these ligands, we thought, well, let's take a look and see if it plays a role in this condition.
So if we sort of go through the methods of what you did. If I understand correctly, you have some experiments in which you took samples from humans, and then you did a whole series of experiments in mice that were CD39 deficient, in which you exposed them to a hypoxic condition, which is one of the potential triggers of pulmonary artery hypertension.
That's right. We had some earlier work that involved drawing blood from patients with idiopathic pulmonary arterial hypertension, and looking at circulating microparticles, which are really membrane blebs from a number of different cells, including endothelium and platelets. And we looked at CD39 as part of that surface protein presentation and found that it was actually upregulated or increased in these patients. And so that was our first hint that this might be worth investigating more fully. And so you're right, our earliest work was in humans with this condition. But we needed to go farther, and so we obtained histologic specimens from this population and did some immunohistochemistry and showed that there, too, in that case, the CD39 was actually downregulated on the pulmonary endothelium, but interestingly, not in the airway epithelium. So we started wondering if this was a vascular-specific phenomenon. But knowing that CD39 that's on the endothelium, we hypothesized that it would affect the pool of circulating nucleotides as they pass around that enzyme, what exact role would alterations in that enzyme have in that circulating pool? And so that led us to actually drawing blood from some patients, and that gave us some preliminary data that, you know, really required a mouse model or an animal model to follow up on. And so that's what led to the, as you mentioned, the generation of the CD39 deficient mouse.
Okay, so in your mouse model, can you give us a little bit of idea about the mouse model? You have some very nice data, both physiologically and, I guess you could say, anatomical data in that. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So that is a global CD39 knockout. And what we did first was we used sort of a common approach to generating pulmonary hypertension, I would say experimental pulmonary hypertension in rodents, which is sort of a double hit whereby we expose them to hypoxia. And in our case, we did that for 4 weeks with at a 10% oxygen concentration. And that combined with the gene knockout gave us an impressive phenotype that you're referring to. And we showed very high right ventricular and pulmonary arterial pressures, especially in the knockout hypoxic mice.
You know, your previous paper where you show increased CD9 expression on the microparticles and then decreased in the endothelium, do you think overall the enzyme activity is normalized between them? I mean, I know you show that there's increased ATP, but is that due to increased ATP production or is it due to decreased degradation by CD39?
Sure. So that's a great point. This is a complex system and there are kinases and other other contributors to the concentrations of each of these. But CD39, you know, it really just takes that upstream ATP and ADP and takes it down to AMP. So it wouldn't affect the absorption or the uptake of ATP. But you're right in that there are certainly cell transporters that do take up all of these different nucleotides. As we know, ATP can be released by erythrocytes when they lyse. We do have a number of different modulators of that in the cocktail. And so I think your point is well taken, but at least in terms of the phlebotomy that we performed, we tried to use a cocktail that really maintained the in vivo state.
So, Scott, I was wondering, since you have previously shown that CD39 expression and activity is increased in the microparticles, does that contribute to the overall activity of CD39 so that you have combination of increased activity in the microparticles but decreased activity on the endothelium?
That's a great point. And as we know, microparticles are essentially blebs in part from the endothelial surface. We know that the microparticle concentration of CD39 likely reflects the vascular endothelium concentration. What I believe is that is potentially a compensatory mechanism, meaning those microparticles were drawn from patients with advanced idiopathic pulmonary arterial hypertension. So they've had the disease for some time. And I hypothesize that at some point, that is a response that helps deplete the increased concentration of ATP that I believe is occurring in patients with IPAH.
So let me move forward to, you actually did a experiment in which you tried to do a systemic reconstitution of the ATPase and ADPase. So you can you give a little bit of description about how you did that and the results, which I think are actually presented in figure 5?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So based on our initial findings that we had an impressive experimental pulmonary hypertension phenotype in these mice lacking CD39, we thought, well, let's reconstitute. Let's add back CD39 or something like it. And potato apyrase, believe it or not, is commonly used to do this. Its activities are very similar to CD39. And so that was administered continuously during the 4 weeks of exposure into hypoxia using an osmotic pump. So it's really a prevention rather than a treatment type approach. And we found that did decrease the degree of pulmonary arterial hypertension, but it did not prevent increased pressures altogether. And so that's what led to our second rescue approach.
And will you comment about your second rescue approach?
Sure. So we did a transcriptomic profile of purinergic receptors using whole lung homogenates. And what stuck out was an approximately 17-fold increase in the P2X1 receptor. Now, again, that's whole lung homogenates. We know that P2X1 is most typically found on smooth muscle cells, but we just wanted to see what would happen if we tried to block that receptor with an antagonist. We know that P2X1 typically contributes to the vasoconstrictive properties of smooth muscle cells. And so it seemed to go along with the disease state that involves increased pressures. So we used a specific and potent P2X1 receptor, which is called NF279. It has been used in prior studies, not involving pulmonary hypertension. And the same type of approach, administering it over the 4 weeks of hypoxia using the osmotic pump, did prevent increases in pulmonary arterial and right ventricular pressures. And in fact, kept those pressures at the levels of the normoxic wild-type mice.
I have another question related, well, just kind of future directions and whether you think this is all mediated by CD39 or if there's dysregulation of the CD73 as well.
That's a great point because in addition to finding increased ATP, we found decreased concentrations of adenosine, and that ratio of the two, I think, is critical. We did do some preliminary experiments involving CD73 knockout mice and found that that pulmonary hypertension phenotype was very intermediate. In other words, those mice had pressures that were certainly higher than wild types, but nowhere near what we had with the CD39 knockout mice. And it doesn't have to be an all or none phenomenon. We could certainly have perturbed CD73 as well as perturbed CD39 findings.
Well, Scott and Nikki, I want to thank you today for taking the time out to do this podcast on Scott's paper. I think we found this very interesting in terms of potential mechanisms that are responsible for the pathology of pulmonary hypertension. And now I'd like to turn it back to Kara. Thank you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.